This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, cable guy. Oh, Chick-fil-A guy. I had to start with that one. David Noble in the house. Hey, good to see you, my friend. Oh, I got the wrong mic. There we go.
Good to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, of course, hey, every Thursday, David Noble joins us here on the show. We like to do a woke update of the week, although for every day there's multiple woke updates anymore. This is kind of a fun woke update of the week, though. So Chick-fil-A has been taking some fire of late here. Apparently, they have a DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Coordinator. And so they were getting attacked for that. You know, has Chick-fil-A gone woke? Now, when I first heard the story, I thought, well, they've had a diversity inclusion guy for like 20 years. So even when they were being bashed for being too Christian, they had a diversity and inclusion, you know,
chief. Did they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, this came out. I think even the Daily Wire or somebody pointed this out. So I thought, okay, yeah, you know, you can scoff at it, but why now? Why now? But then I heard Jeff Lasloffy's latest update from the Montana Family Foundation. And yeah, apparently, whoever's running Chick-fil-A now, they've gone all sorts of woke. They're not funding Christian, you know, pro-marriage causes anymore, and instead they're giving money to these wackos at this left-wing hate group, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And
wow.
And they're funding other left-wing. This was according to Jeff Lasloffy's latest outfit. So, yeah, so apparently Chick-fil-A has gone woke now.
So, what's really going on, though? Did they sell it? Because it's privately owned. It's not like a publicly traded company. It's privately owned. Did they pass it on to the kids? Or
that's what I'm wondering.
That's what I'd like to know.
Sometimes you'll see that where you know, grandma and grandpa started the company, and grandma and grandpa are good folks, but somewhere along the line, the rich kids, they get off track, yeah.
Did they hand over management to BlackRock?
Did they have somebody, you know, heading up their diversity inclusion nonsense that just started giving out money willy nilly?
We know they're making money hand over fist, so they've got plenty of money to hand out. Holy smokes.
Well, that's right, yeah. But I had to laugh, and the reason I had to say, hey, Chick-fil-A guy, you remember the Billings Gazette arts reporter that was tasked with writing a story about the Chick-fil-A opening in Billings? Massive turnout, massive lines, and the chicken is really good. I mean, whether you agree with their politics or not, the chicken's really good. But I had to laugh because this Billings Gazette reporter, you could tell his article was dripping with this anti-Christian rhetoric. You could tell that he was bashing the owners of Chick-fil-A because of their past donations to pro-marriage causes and Christian causes, etc. But then he said, the chicken isn't even that good anyway. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, just because you don't like their politics doesn't
just so
mean you
obvious.
Have to say you don't like their chicken. But it's safe for Chick-fil-A guy now. Now that liberal arts reporter at the Gazette, he can go to Chick-fil-A and now he can admit that the chicken is actually good.
Hilarious and so obvious, too. And the sad thing is if this really is a sign of a good company like that and good people that have turned to woke because they just got sick of being called names, that would be a sad, sad thing.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, lots to talk about here with David Noble. He's got several stories racked and stacked for us that you're going to want to hear about.
Here is your Montana news. A multi-vehicle chain reaction crash on Highway 2 killed 2 and injured 4. This occurred on Monday near Corum between Columbia Falls and West Glacier in Flathead County. The tragedy started when a semi rear-ended a Honda Odyssey, which sent it into a Ford Edge, and that car crossed into oncoming traffic. KTVQ reports that the Edge was struck by a motorhome and then a GMC Sierra. The accident subsequently sent 2 other vehicles into a collision. The 2 men killed were in their 70s, one from Arizona in the Honda struck by the semi, and the other from Corum in the Edge, who was the only one not seatbelted in. While 4 adults were injured, 3 children were unharmed in the chaos. Speed is considered a factor in this chain reaction. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Swee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman.
We'll stay with considerable cloudiness today and some scattered shower activity, along with some thunderstorms developing around the area this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to about 79 in Billings. For tonight, looking at more showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight, then falling off to about 52 in Bozeman to 59 in Billings. Active weather continues to finish out the work week on Friday, with more developing showers and storms, especially in the afternoon, along with some sunny breaks, with high temperatures from the mid-70s in Bozeman to about 81 in Billings. Friday night, shower and storm chances mainly before midnight as we head back to about 53 in Bozeman, 60 in Billings. And then for the weekend, still seeing chances for more showers and storms, especially in the afternoon hours, as highs stay in the 70s across the area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Dr. Courtney Young is a...
Please call 406-259-4715. Visit their website at duxpaintshop.com or visit their Facebook page.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to get David Noble's take on this big political news that dropped yesterday. Neither Chief Justice Mike McGrath nor Justice Dirk Set-Em-Free Sandifer, neither of them are going to seek re-election to the Montana Supreme Court in 2024. I definitely want to get David's take on that. But let's start with some of the woke news out there here, David. So you asked me a good question. Did you see this thread from Matt Walsh? Matt Walsh is with the Daily Wire. He is the producer of the What is a Woman documentary, which is so incredible. I saw the brief headline of what he was tweeting about, and then I heard that Elon Musk basically had a one-word reaction that summed it all up. So, David, tell us, what is this latest thread from Matt Walsh that's making so many waves right now?
Well, you just gotta hand it to Matt Walsh. He's been a leader on this issue, focused on exposing the transgender healthcare industry, and this is some really shocking stuff. Elon Musk had responded and said, insane. He also responded and said, incredibly disturbing thread. Matt Walsh says, the largest trans healthcare providers in the United States are rubber stamping letters approving gruesome life-altering surgeries. It's such a racket that my producer was approved for a testicle removal in 22 minutes. And then they go through and they've got the videos of their training videos. They've got they did like a sting operation where they went to these transgender healthcare providers and got these transgender healthcare providers to basically admit to them that, hey, we have to diagnose you with gender dysphoria in order for your insurance company to cover these transgender surgeries. And then there's these organizations that provide these form letters that these various different healthcare providers, counselors, nurse practitioners, all these different people provide to then go to the surgeon to then have the surgeon perform these surgeries. And then it gets covered by your health insurance. And so all of us that are paying health insurance premiums, we're paying for these people.
Yeah.
And it's a racket. And what what Matt Walsh and his team did is they went and they basically said, hey, you know, I'm transgender. And then they told them sort of specific things that would indicate that they are not gender dysphoric. They do not have gender dysphoria.
And the health, then that fast tracks their ability to get the surgery removal done?
Yes, paid for by health insurance. And I guess I wasn't even necessarily aware of this whole idea that they are actively saying that this is a medical condition called gender dysphoria. I thought that was like, if you brought up that was like transphobic. No, that's what the trans healthcare providers are saying, is that you have gender dysphoria, and they're actually diagnosing that under the DSM-5, the Bible or whatever you want to call it for medical diagnosis. And so, but what they're doing is they're giving these people's letters saying, yes, you have gender dysphoria. Yes, you need a testicle removal after like 20 minutes. and even knowing that they actually do not meet the criteria. And so then what Matt Walsh's team did is they went to these big trans healthcare providers and said, hey, you know, I haven't ever thought that my gender was different for 6 months or more at a time. It's never existed for more than 6 months, which is a hard line that you have to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria. And they said, okay, you have gender dysphoria anyway. And they're like, and then they said, hey, I don't think I have gender dysphoria. I don't really feel dysphoric. And they're like, well, we have to put that to get health insurance to cover it. So the whole thing is like this racket. And of course, it makes sense because they're making billions and billions of dollars off of this stuff. And the whole industry, and it's not just, and Matt Walsh's point is, look, this is not just about the kids, and it is certainly about the kids, and we got to protect the kids. But this entire industry is based on a scam of basically just, hey, you come in and you say you're transgender. 20 minutes later, we'll diagnose you with gender dysphoria, even if you don't meet it.
We'll do irreversible operations or give you irreversible drugs, basically just in an instance, in 20 minutes. Yeah, when you were telling me about this story, I remember seeing the headline, and it was at thedailywire.com. Elon Musk has one word response to Matt Walsh's trans healthcare investigation, and that one word was insane. And that's exactly what this is. This is important. The big picture of why this matters is because the left will be out there saying, hey, we want to care for these people, we want to give these people treatment. For decades, we've given people who've had gender dysphoria, who've had these struggles, treatment and care. And it is a years-long process. And never before did they say, oh, yep, just give them the surgery. Just chop off the body parts. They would really – case in point. So you remember when there was that Navy SEAL? This was kind of a famous case. There was the Navy SEAL that came out as transgender and did the whole change, started dressing like a woman and everything. That guy has now detransitioned back to being male. But what he is now saying, he says that the number that the transgender activists never want you to hear is that 80% of people, whether it's kids or adults, who struggle with this whole transgender thing, 80% of them end up deciding not to transition. They decide not to, or they decide to go back to how they were born, right? So the point being is that if you rush to judgment and you chop off body parts, we all know why it's outrageous if it's done to kids, but this is also why it is an outrageous decision to make if you're an adult, especially on a willy-nilly, fool's rush in, 20-minute phone call conversation.
Right. And the fact that they're doing that all because of money. And remember, there was that the Daily Wire also exposed that video from, was it one of the universities or something that had basically come out and said, hey, we're pushing this because this is where we make a lot of money. We can make a lot of money off. And
that's right, the Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And there's these other organizations out there. One's called Folks Health, F-O-L-X, Folks Health. And then another one is Plume. But these are organizations that will give you a letter after 20 minutes that you can go take to your surgeon and get your testicles removed.
Yeah. And again, it's bad enough that they want to do this to adults.
.com. Monthly payment available only when financing with a Pierce RV approved lender. Not all buyers will qualify, subject to prior sale. See dealer for details.
Jake Penwell and Matthew McDonald with the Yellowstone International Air Show that's coming up this August. The big air show featuring the Navy's Blue Angels and much more. They were gracious enough to give us 4 free VIP passes. These are all-inclusive food, beverage, incredible seats, and more. And we want to give them to a law enforcement or military veteran.
You call today for a free consultation. Lower your heating and cooling bills with windows from Renewal by Anderson of Montana. RBAMontana.com.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Just like all agriculture groups in Washington, D.C., and for farmers and ranchers across the nation, they are still celebrating the Supreme Court decision in the Sackett versus EPA case, in which the court held that the Clean Water Act extends only to wetlands that have a continuous surface connection with waters of the U.S. Cam Quarles is CEO of the National Potato Council.
It's a huge win for our industry. It's a huge win for agriculture overall. And also, perhaps most importantly, it's a win for common sense and also unanimous common sense. The what I thought was really remarkable about that decision, it wasn't a partisan vote. It wasn't a 5-4 decision. It was a 9-0 vote. That the way the WOTUS rule was constructed was just flat out an overreach, and they needed to return back to common sense policymaking. I think that bodes well for other issues, hopefully on the horizon, like getting a new farm bill, getting some guardrails around policy in that's coming out of Washington, D.C., that can be implemented in a constructive way, in not in a restrictive way where we're harming opportunities for this great capitalist economy in the U.S., this fantastic agriculture industry.
That was Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Lane Ortmund.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I got a good message from Tim in Billings, by the way, when it comes to the Supreme Court races, because now, man, we've got two big ones up for grabs next year in 2024. David Noble, do we want to talk more about Matt Walsh or another woke update, or should we get to the Supreme Court news?
No,
here?
I mean, I'll talk about the Supreme Court news. I think it's huge news. I'd be lying if I didn't admit that when I saw that news, I didn't think about, man, maybe I ought to run for that position. But
you'd be awesome.
The reality is it's a big sacrifice to do it. It really is a public service position. It's not easy. That's why I have so much respect for James Brown and what he did and all the time and effort you put in. And when you're running for those positions, you presumably have to give up your day job. That's a whole other sort of issue and question. But man, it's an important time. I saw that former federal magistrate judge Jeremiah Lynch has he's like in his 70s. He's filed the run for the chief justice position.
Really?
According to that same article that you mentioned.
Yeah, so, I didn't get a chance to read through the whole thing yet. Yeah,
and I don't know that much about him. But no, it's a big deal. I would hope that James Brown runs again. I'd love to see him become that Supreme Court. But it's just so disappointing when you look at what happened in that last race where. You know, so many people, I think, voted for Justice Gustafson, not really knowing what the deal was with that race and who James Brown was and all of that stuff. It's going to be really – this isn't a huge opportunity because there's the vacancy. So you don't have that incumbency advantage.
That's the challenge. You get an incumbent like Gustafson was an incumbent. So you get a lot of people that are going to want to suck up to the incumbent because they might have – they will have to appear before them.
Absolutely.
If their case reaches the Supreme Court. And so here was Gustafson out there shaking down lawyers that are appearing before the Montana Supreme Court for campaign cash.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, for somebody like me, or James Brown, for that matter, to jump into a race like that, you are going up against the trial lawyers and their millions of dollars, and it's just it's difficult. Frankly, I you know, wish that we could have seen the legislature put through a bill or a constitutional amendment, whatever it takes, to make it so that the governor gets to appoint Supreme Court justices. It's a little bit unseemly having judges run for office. I mean, a lot of states do that. The federal system, obviously, the president appoints them with Senate approval. I personally think that's probably the better way to go because then you don't have this situation where you've got lawyers donating money.
Conflict of interest
candidates.
Across the
it just,
board.
It just looks bad and feels bad. And so and the other part of it is then you're not going to have – you wouldn't have the Montana trial lawyers, all the plaintiffs' attorneys that have a financial vested interest in having a radical left Supreme Court that's going to rule in favor of plaintiffs on every single issue. And I got story after story after story I could tell about actual published Montana Supreme Court cases that I was involved in where it would blow your mind to really understand what the facts of these cases are and what the Montana Supreme Court has done. And these are on basic wrongful death cases, tort cases.
Yeah, it's just a kangaroo court.
Really
it's a kangaroo court right now where they're making clearly partisan left-wing ideological rulings here that fly in the and they're responsible as well for putting a lot of these criminals back out onto the streets with their soft on crime policies. I got a message here from let's see, I think it was Jay in Billings. This was earlier, you know, when we were talking about these partisan activists on the bench. He says, "You are calling it right. Stay the course. These partisan activists sitting on the judge's bench are destroying our Montana way of life. Their reasoning is focused on political agendas, not on balanced interpretations of our laws." And I was talking about this liberal judge, Mike Moses, who has had a string of partisan rulings. But more recently, he also ruled to shut down the natural – or to block halt the construction of the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel. So who would some candidates possibly be? Tim in Billings threw out an idea. First off, I would second what you had to say about James Brown, who's the chairman of the Montana Public Service Commission. And I think we have seen time and time again where statewide candidates for office – will lose a race one year, their first go at it for some of these statewide office positions, but then they try again and then they win. Look at all the people that are filling statewide offices right now that have lost a statewide race, that ran again and then won the next time, especially when they weren't facing an incumbent. So I think James Brown is on a good track to now win one of these Supreme Court races, because he can take the work he did, the name ID that he built up last cycle, and now propel that into this next one. Tim in Billings says, hey, what about Tim Fox, former Montana Attorney General Tim Fox? Would he be a great candidate for the Montana Supreme Court? He certainly has, you know, more of that name ID background. And while he was a Republican statewide office holder, I think some conservatives maybe felt he wasn't conservative enough on some issues, but that also pads his resume for being more of a non-ideologue on the bench,
right,
as well.
Right. I mean, if I were to ever run, I would have to basically stop the political commentary and then say that, look, even though I have my own personal political beliefs, if I'm on the bench, I would set that aside, because I believe in a true fidelity to the Constitution and the law, regardless of what my political beliefs are. And of course, that really is a fundamental belief of mine as a conservative, as a constitutionalist. Judges have to put their political beliefs aside.
All right. Did you hear the SPLC, that left-wing hate group that I talked about earlier? They have now added Moms for Liberty to their list of hate groups. Talk about that more next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Flights into Philadelphia, Newark, New Jersey, and New York's LaGuardia Airport are on hold. There's low visibility from wildfire smoke from Canada.
It is ridiculous. This is not normal air for us to be breathing in.
She's in New York. It's a second day of air quality alerts from the Midwest to the Northeast to the Carolinas. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer cancels a vote to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress.
Comer's about-face comes after the FBI agreed to let all members of the Oversight Committee review that FBI document alleging then-Vice President Biden accepted a $5 million bribe. The top Democrat on the committee, Jamie Raskin, said the FBI already investigated the matter under then-Attorney General Bill Barr and found no wrongdoing, a point disputed by Barr, who tells Fox, quote, "We did not close anything."
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in Washington. The religious broadcaster Pat Robertson died. He was 93. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, lots more woke news that we want to dissect for you here this morning with David Noble in the house as well. But David, you and I were kind of chatting during the news update there as well. So this is something that needs to be said. Okay, two big opportunities for Montanans to get fairness on the Montana Supreme Court, with Chief Justice Mike McGrath and Justice Dirk Set 'em Free Sandifer not seeking re-election next year. But, you know, you raised a good point, which is like, okay, whether it's some of these school board races, whether it is city council races, you get good, solid conservatives and everyday Montana folks who step up to run and even put their own resources into the fight. And where are the rest of the conservatives? Where are our organized political action committees, like they put it together in Florida to get to flip these school boards from the left-wing control? Where are the organized political action committees to combat the trial lawyer lobby and the Democrat dark money donors that will put the resources behind their candidates? Everybody gets all hopped up and excited about Congress and governor and Trump or DeSantis or whoever, White House. This is the stuff that really is going to make an on-the-ground difference here in Montana.
Well, and people will get hopped up about the Montana Supreme Court and talk about the Montana Supreme Court and how horrible these decisions are. People say that all the time. But yet, when somebody like James Brown actually steps up and he's putting himself up against an incumbent, against millions of dollars from the plaintiffs bar and the trial lawyers association, and yet, you know, the citizens of Montana, I didn't have a sense that they really stepped up. The conservatives in Montana, Republicans in Montana, didn't step up and support James Brown. So why would a conservative put themselves up against that kind of a deal when you're not going to have the people of Montana, the conservatives in Montana, politicians in Montana, really, really step up and defend these people? And I did everything I could to help James Brown. I had him come to my law firm. I donated to his campaign. There was actually a PAC supporting him. I donated to the PAC.
Yeah, that's right. That one was a good one. That one did a good job. But that was one effort. Where was everybody else?
Where was, how
and,
many?
And why people will remember too, why did we hear so many Gustafson ads even on this radios, these radio stations, and we didn't hear, I don't think, hardly any until some local conservative groups stepped up.
How many people that have criticized the Montana Supreme Court, how many people that have called into this show or written into this show or listened to this show that loved to attack the Montana Supreme Court, how many of them donated to James Brown? How many of them
went
door to door for James Brown, put a sign up, held an event, all that kind of stuff? It's like, we have got, I think it's up to, and I talked about this after the 2022 midterms. My main takeaway from the 2022 midterms was always, we all have to look inside ourselves and ask ourselves, did I do everything we possibly could have done to win that race? And almost all of us, the answer is no.
Well, I remember,
and people are just not that involved in politics like they need to be.
And luckily when it comes to school board races, you know, Billings, they picked up two great new school board members with Brooke Wagner and with Andrea Nimitz. And hats off to Moms for Liberty. Yep. Hats off to Brooke and Luke Hudson for their work and effort.
Absolutely.
And these campaigns. But I remember there were other conservative groups across Montana who were like, oh, well, we would endorse these candidates if we knew about them. They don't need your endorsement. They need your money. They need your soldiers on the ground going door to door and more. And I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm just making the point that your group endorsing somebody, thanks, but...
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Food prices are surging, interest rates are increasing, and inflation remains high. As a result, many households must reprioritize spending. It's very important to continue to save where you can, especially so you can build an emergency savings fund. Money expert Mark Hamrick with Bankrate.com offers tips on how to try to save $100 a week and put that in your savings account. He says the first place to start is to monitor the money that's coming out of your bank account. He says look at necessary versus discretionary. Discretionary spending is where most people have greater flexibility, include categories that can easily get out of line, like restaurants, travel, and entertainment. Do an audit of the subscriptions you have, whether written publications and music and video streaming, and trim if you can. And negotiate with your tech carriers. Many providers of cell phone, internet, and cable TV services will bargain on prices and plan more meals at home, which can be a big cost saver. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The year is three. So if you listened to our Montana Talks podcast, say 1 year ago or 2 years ago, you might find one interview, one conversation that would be featured on our daily podcast. Now you can find it all 4 hours of the show. Here's why I like that. I love having these interviews with these guests, and that's great. But the best part of the show is when people call in from all across Montana. So now you don't only hear the interviews, you don't only hear the commentary, you get to hear what Montanans say about it with the Montana Talks podcast.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with David Noble in the house with us every Thursday on the program. He does a great job filling in for us on the show as well here. So I know you've got a number of kind of woke updates to talk about here this week.
Can I say
go for it. If you want to go somewhere else.
You just reminded me about that. So we had that, I had a show where I guest filled and I guest hosted for you. And we talked a lot about that climate change bill that Montana passed, saying that the DEQ cannot consider global greenhouse gas emissions. And we had a great time talking about that and had lots of calls and lots of messages about it. I have learned some more information related to that. Number one, I saw Kendall Cotton on Twitter pointed out that it was actually the Democrats in like the 90s that had passed laws saying that Montana cannot consider environmental effects outside of Montana when deciding the permitting issues and things like that. And so I thought that was really interesting to look at that history. And then also I saw something that basically said that provision saying that they cannot consider greenhouse gas emissions was a direct result from the decision about the Laurel natural gas power plant, which I didn't know. I thought this is just good policy. This is just good policy in general. Like, of course we shouldn't be considering CO2 emissions when considering DEQ permitting issues like that. But the fact that that was a direct result of the Laurel natural gas power plant is crazy. I love the caller this morning about the Highwood coal generating power plant. Wouldn't that be nice if we had a coal power plant in Highwood right now? And wouldn't that be nice if we still had Colstrip? And wouldn't that be nice if we had a natural gas power plant?
We got 3 and 4, but what if we had 1 and 2? Yeah.
And wouldn't that be, maybe then we wouldn't be spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on electricity every month. Hundreds of dollars in electricity bills every month. I don't know how anybody affords it. I mean, my electricity bill is like $200. It's insane.
Well, see, if you lived a little further out of town, you'd be in Yellowstone Valley Electric Co-op country, and they haven't had to do a rate increase. And
well, it's not cheap being on Northwestern Energy.
Well, Northwestern Energy, you know, they had to institute all these woke policies. Right. You know, we had years of Democrat governors that were pushing renewable energy portfolio standards. They were pushing wind and solar. And that wind just blew up the price of power. So unfortunately, yeah, if you're a Northwestern Energy company, a customer, you're getting rate hike after rate hike after rate hike. And I'm so thankful I'm a Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative member myself to have been spared from that. But yeah, going back, so right before the break, we were talking about I mentioned Moms for Liberty. You know, we were talking about the Supreme Court races and why conservatives need to start rallying. And not just... Hey, I'm not telling you don't call into talk shows like this. We love it when you call in. You calling into shows like this and informing your fellow citizens is important. But what I don't want you to do is, oh, I called into the radio and praised blank, blank, blank conservative candidate for the Supreme Court. My job's done. My job's done. No, you
just like voting is the bare minimum.
Yeah,
that's you do not fulfill your obligations as a citizen of America by just voting. That's the bare minimum.
The point is if you've got to get financial resources, or if you can't donate financially, then be the boots
time,
on the ground.
Time,
stuff in envelopes, going door to door to support these candidates. Moms for Liberty, there's a chapter in Yellowstone County. They stood up after all this COVID-19 nonsense and all the harm that was being caused to kids. And they supported these two school board candidates who recently got across the finish line in Billings in particular. The radical left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center. The SPLC is basically now a left-wing hate group.
They're bigots. They're religious bigots.
They're bigots. They're religious bigots. They will attack anybody of Christian faith or Christian conservatives in particular. So the SPLC, in fact, we got a message from Kendall and Laurel. The SPLC is now called Moms for Liberty, which I belong to, an anti-government terrorist group. All I want is reading, writing, and arithmetic. The SPLC is demented, from Kendall and Laurel.
True. Good message. Right on.
This is what the founder of Moms for Liberty, Tiffany Justice, was on Fox News with Harris Faulkner last night. And Harris Faulkner, in a lengthy monologue, went after the SPLC. And then Harris Faulkner asked the Moms for Liberty founder if they're going to explore maybe even a legal challenge against what the SPLC is doing here.
I think we're exploring a lot of different options to take, but the focus is really on the children. You know, our concern, Harris, is this. We watched as the Biden administration worked with the NSBA to have the Department of Justice label parents domestic terrorists. I spoke and testified in front of Congress about the fact the FBI had contacted one of our moms. Now we're watching again as another organization is labeling groups as hate groups. And, you know, I think we've got a lot of questions about how Moms for Liberty is being discussed in these other parental rights groups and if there's an attempt to silence and suppress our voices.
All right. And then she also had earlier made the point about, remember, you had the Justice Department, the Joe Biden Justice Department, wanting to go after parents who are critical of these outrageous school board decisions and classify them as domestic terrorists, too. So this is a pattern.
Well, I think they absolutely should file defamation, slander, and libel claims against Southern Poverty Law Center. And I think conservatives need to start doing that more, because the Southern Poverty Law Center is absolutely defaming Christian good Christian groups and good Christian people in calling them these horrible names and things like that. And frankly, conservatives are going to have to start filing a lot of lawsuits, because we're going to continue to have our rights violated, not only just by organizations like that, but by the government, by universities. You know, civil rights are going to be a big issue. Constitutional rights are going to be a big issue. You're seeing it already where these Democrats are violating the civil rights of conservatives. And so I think we're going to see an explosion of litigation over that, and rightfully so.
What are some of the other woke updates you've got in your stack of stuff here for us this morning?
Oh, the squad member, Cori Bush, House of Representatives member Cori Bush, says that if you are anti-woke, that means you are anti-black. She says, when you say I'm anti-woke, when you talk about wokeness, you're saying I'm anti-black, and I don't want black people to speak up for themselves. I don't want equality and justice for black folks, the Missouri Democrat said. So I'm not exactly following that, but somehow, woke, if you're against woke, then you're against black. I didn't quite understand that, but that's the messaging we're getting from the squad now.
So Cori Bush, if we don't think that they should be chopping off breasts off of little girls or genitalia off of little boys for this transgender ideology, that somehow means you're anti-black?
Which to me, that's the same thing as basically saying, like, what it means to be black is that you believe in transing the kids. To me, that sounds anti-black. To go around saying, hey, what black means that you believe in transing the kids. So if you're against transing the kids, you're against black. That to me sounds anti-black.
Well, you remember what it also reminds me of when Joe Biden was on that that Charlemagne radio show.
Right. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Here's pasty white Uncle Joe, you know, who's had some very curious racial statements over the years, telling a black radio host, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah. No, curious racials. Joe Biden's the one that bragged about his state being a slave state. When Joe Biden ran for president in the late 80s, he was asked, hey, how are you gonna win in the South? You're a Northeast liberal. And he said, you don't know my state. My state's a slave state.
And then he gave the eulogy at a funeral for a KKK member.
Right.
Oh, man. And even Kamala called him a racist on the debate stage. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Kevin in Billings. What's your thoughts this morning?
Well, I want to talk about the energy issue. Now, correct me, did they shut down all the coal strip plants or just two of them?
Just one and two. They're gunning for three and four.
Well, okay, so that brings me to a question. Are we going to see a lot of blackouts, rolling blackouts in Montana this summer?
Well, who knows? We know that all the official statements are, no, our grid's reliable. We have concerns, but our grid is reliable. Our grid is reliable. But that is certainly a concern because Montana used to be a net exporter of power. We're no longer a net exporter of power. We've sometimes, Northwestern Energy, especially during those very cold months, has had to go to other states for power, and it costs a lot more money during those times.
Yeah, I mean, I would fully expect us to see blackouts or rolling blackouts. That's a great call. It's a great point. I mean, and that's what people need to realize. Not only are you having to pay outrageous amounts of money just to have electricity at your house every month, and you're paying for that because, Puget Sound Energy in Washington has to go 90% solar and wind because of Washington, and then they own part of Northwestern Energy, and it's all this Washington State and Oregon State wacko solar and wind policies that are now impacting us in Montana.
And they want to tear down the hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest as well, some of them. So, people...
So I would fully expect us to see blackouts because of all of these crazy solar and wind policies. And remember, the Democrats don't actually care about green energy, quote-unquote, because they're against nuclear power. If you actually cared about these issues, you'd be in favor of nuclear power.
Even natural gas.
But going back exactly.
To the Laurel power plant. The Sierra Club called natural gas the fuel of choice. The reason we lowered carbon dioxide emissions under Trump was because of natural gas.
But natural gas doesn't have a financial relationship with Democrats like the solar and wind power does. Remember, Solyndra?
Exactly. Well said. All right, quick break. Back with more with David Doble. We'll talk about the woke army after this.
Fox News commentary.
One leftist publication goes after Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis, calling her Walmart Melania. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Well, they say there are certain things that shouldn't be brought up at the kitchen table, but not here at the Duffys. So pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
And we're going to share some real-life solutions as well to the everyday issues that you all talk about. And we're going to talk about some of those things that we agree on.
And some that we don't.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
DeSantis derangement syndrome has already set in for the mainstream media as they prove once again their brand of feminism is very selective. And this go-around, it's the Daily Beast's Katie Baker who penned a hit piece on Casey DeSantis, labeling her Walmart Melania. Baker goes on to mock Casey's leather jacket that has a picture of a Florida gator and the phrase, "Where woke goes to die." The jacket is actually pretty damn cool, but leave it to a bitter, liberal media hack to disparage a conservative woman for her fashion, her looks, and everything else. Folks, these liberals are not feminists. They don't seek to empower women. They will viciously attack Casey DeSantis just as they did Melania and Ivanka Trump. But you know what's sad, folks? That some Trump supporters are
jokes. Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a few minutes left, ma'am. David, you know, I know, you know, taking a whole year off the you know, for a campaign trail might be a little much, but I wish we could just get you to take a couple more hours off so you could join us just for the rest of the show throughout the morning, because this is always fun catching up with you here.
I love doing it.
One of the woke updates that you've got racked and stacked there is Joe Biden's Secretary of the Army, was it the Secretary of the Army?
Yeah. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth.
Yeah, so she was on MSNBC, and thankfully you sent a clip to our producer, Travis. He snagged the audio for us here. She was saying, "Oh, we don't have a woke army. We have a ready army." And then she added this.
And I do think that that constant drumbeat that we sometimes hear about a weak military, a woke military, is a little bit of a negative drip, drip, drip that is undermining our recruiting at a time where we really can't afford that.
It's
classic liberal thinking. This is how they think. It's not the fact that the military is actually trying to push LGBTQ issues and all these woke issues that's impacting recruiting. No.
Or the COVID jab.
Yeah. It's the fact that you are pointing it out, Aaron. You're the one that's harming the military recruiting. If you just didn't point it out and you never talked about the fact that that Biden and the Democrats are trying to use the U.S. military to push a radical social agenda, then there would be no problem.
Yeah, if we just didn't talk about the COVID jab, those soldiers never would have left the military early. They never would have decided to just retire or get the heck out, because they were being forced to take the thing, even though it was experimental. Absurd.
If we never brought up the fact that they're doing drag shows on military bases, or they're flying the... You know what's really disturbing, too, is how the... And this isn't even military. This is State Department stuff. But how the State Department flies the LGBTQ flag all around the world, to where now America and a lot of other countries view America as, we're just an LGBTQ country, where that's America's foreign policy. That's our main thing around the world, is to promote LGBTQ issues. It's a really disgusting disgrace that they've turned the American foreign policy into nothing but pushing LGBTQ. And a lot of these other countries around the world still have actually traditional morals, and a lot of them, they find that absolutely ridiculous, and it's horrible for America.
And deeply offensive.
Yeah, and it's absolutely terrible for America's standing in the world and our national security and everything else. But
and
that's
we wonder
what
why
Democrats
and
are doing.
We wonder why China is running circles around us right here. But yeah, so the Secretary of the Army is basically acknowledging the fact that readiness has taken a hit, that recruitment has taken a hit, and yet wants to somehow shift blame to somebody else other than shoulder the blame for the woke policies that they're pushing that have been causing all this harm.
Well, right. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like, who do they think joins the U.S. military? Do they think a bunch of like blue-haired, like skinny jean people are the ones that have traditionally joined the military? No. That's not who traditionally, like, trying to appeal to.
There's a few of them that join, and then that hair gets shaved off in an instant for basic training. But
I mean,
all sorts of folks that serve. But you're right.
Of course, yeah.
The overwhelming majority, especially in the combat arms, are farm and ranch kids. They're patriotic Americans who are willing to sacrifice their lives like dad and grandpa did before them.
Right. Yeah, so it's just ridiculous. They need to stop using the military to push their radical social agenda. Just stop.
David Noble, great to see you as always. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and on his Twitch podcast at LectureFan, LCTR fan. Good to see you as always. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it.
All right. We've got the phone lines open for the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours of this show. Anything and everything you want to talk about, plus a lot of topics that we still haven't even covered yet here this morning. The latest on the FBI document scandal. Senator John Kennedy talking about these gas appliance restrictions and more. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, surgeries, rushing into a surgery. You wouldn't even rush into a back surgery. Why would you rush into a transgender surgery? But anyway, here's the deal. Sometimes you're going to have to get surgery. Sometimes you're going to have to take pain medications. But what if you could get over the pain? What if you could do away with the pain without surgery or without medications? You need to do a free consultation. Our friends at QC Kinetics, they've got hundreds of clinics all across America, but they're now on the ground here in Montana. They specialize in regenerative treatments where they take the natural healing properties that are already in your body and they put those directly into those achy joints, whether it's your knees, your hips, or your back. So you can get a free consultation. Give them a call right now. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. Again, QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. And then our phone lines are open.